So today we're starting a new series that I've called the Supernatural Life. The Supernatural Life. And I've called it the Supernatural Life and in bracket, the Holy Spirit, part one. And I'm going to be looking at this for the next few weeks, probably for the next 4 to 5 weeks. And what I want us to like really establish this time around is to begin to look at this, to look more at the spiritual side of our faith, and just to bring a number of things, you know, to the forefront. Because I think oftentimes we might just almost forget that our faith as believers is a spiritual faith. Sometimes we might just, you know, get caught up with going to church meetings on a Sunday, which is fantastic. We have these Bible studies, which is great. We read the Bible, which is, you know, magnificent. But we must not forget that our faith is a spiritual faith. It is not just confined to the books of the Bible or just to text. It is a living spiritual faith. So what I want to do for the next few weeks is to look at something that I've called the supernatural life through the Holy Spirit. The supernatural life through the Holy Spirit. But tonight, I want to look at... I just want to give us like a foundation of what we're, well, a foundation of us, of spirituality in the context of the world that we're living. So I'm just going to be going through a number of points tonight to give us like the basis of what we're going to be talking about from next week and going forward as well. So tonight we're just going to be looking at a number of things. I've got a few points here. I'll go through as many of them as I can. If I don't finish today's part one, then I'll carry on next week. But the important thing is that we get and understand what we're trying to communicate here. So the first point that I've put here is a question here. It's, what does the word spiritual mean? Just that word, spiritual. I took the liberty of checking an online dictionary and it defined what that word means. And that word means here, this is from Google, by the way. It defines spiritual as relating to or affecting the human spirit or soul, as opposed to material or physical things. I repeat that, relating to or affecting the human spirit or soul, as opposed to material or physical things. So this definition, which is just a regular online dictionary definition, says something about that word spiritual. It says it's something that affects our human spirit. It's something that I would refer to as being invincible, but it affects our human spirit and it is not physical. So that's what that definition says. So the second point I want to make tonight for us is that as human beings, we're made up of three parts. As human beings, we're made up of three parts. We are spirits primarily, we live in a body, and we have a soul. We're spirits, we live in a body, and we have a soul. So if I look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the second point is that we need to kind of be conscious of the fact that we're tripartite as well. We're spirits, we live in a body, and we have a soul. Now, the third point I'm just going to make here is this. We might be aware of this already, but just to bring this, you know, to the forefront, there is an unseen spiritual realm around us. It is an invisible realm. It is not something that we see, but it is clear and it is present. So as we're walking around, you know, going around doing our normal business, going to work, going to school, so on and so forth, we are in the context of a spiritual world. Now, there's an example here from Daniel chapter 10. I'll read verse 1, and there's another part. I'll read verse 1, and I'll also then read from verses 4 to 20. It's a long read, but just to, you know, give it context here again. Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 to 20. It says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belshazzar. It's a message that was true and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. I'll move to verse 4. It says, on the 24th day of the first month, I was standing on the back of the great Tigris. And I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uzzah around his waist. His body was like topaz. His face like lightning. His eyes like flashing torches. His arms and legs were like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice was the sound of a multitude. I'm not going to read the whole of that chapter, but basically what happened here is that Daniel suddenly is exposed to the spiritual realm here, and an angel appeared to him. Now, if we read further down that Daniel chapter 10, Daniel begins to understand a number of things about the spiritual realm, because the angel that appeared to him was now saying, look, I'm here to give you a message. However, as I was coming to give you this message, there was a spiritual being, Prince of Persia or whatever, that held me in the spiritual realm that did not allow me to come to you. When I finish delivering this message to you, I'm going to go back and deal with this spiritual being. So we begin to see there that, as a third point, that there's heavy spiritual activity going on around us that we might not be aware of, but that realm is present and alive. So that's the third point. Now, the thing is this, the fourth point I want to make here is this. Every one of us is in contact with the spiritual realm daily. You might be saying, hang on, Pastor Benson, what do you mean we're in contact with the spiritual realm? Whether you realize it or not, as long as you're a human being and you're on this earth, you are in contact with the spiritual realm daily, several times a day. In fact, almost every minute of your life, almost every minute of my life, we are in contact with the spiritual realm. Now, how are we in contact with the spiritual realm? How do we interject with the spiritual realm? Very interesting, but very simple. Let me read Daniel chapter 2, verse 29. Daniel chapter 2, verse 29. Here, Daniel was telling the king about his dream. So if you read Daniel chapter 2, it tells us a story about how the king, Nebuchadnezzar, had a dream and he didn't remember, and he wanted someone to remind him of his dream and interpret the dream. So that's another part. But the point I want to draw out here is when Daniel was describing to King Nebuchadnezzar how he encountered this vision. Daniel chapter 2 verse 29, it says, as your majesty was lying there, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. So he said, as you were lying there, your mind turned to things to come. So the way we encounter the spiritual realm, whether we're aware of it or not, is through our mind, with our mind. Now you might say, hang on, how do I encounter the spiritual realm with my mind? Well, you encounter the spiritual realm in your mind through thoughts and imaginations. Now, what does that mean? That means that as you're walking around, the spiritual realm is communicating with you. And I'll talk about one or two things in a minute. And the way that you are engaging the spiritual realm, whether you're aware of it or not, the way that every single human being is experiencing the spiritual realm or engaging that realm is through our minds, through our thoughts, through our imaginations. There was a friend of mine a long time ago that was, we were talking, and this guy was like a pastor actually, but he hadn't been in ministry for a long time. And we're having a heart-to-heart conversation, and he was telling me that, look, he feels like he gets these thoughts that says he should kill himself and stuff like that. And I told him point blank, I said, look, those thoughts that you're having, they're not your thoughts. Now, this guy's a pastor. He probably knew that, but I don't know, maybe he was just experiencing some difficulty. And I told him, I said, look, the thoughts that you're experiencing at the moment, that thing that is telling you to kill yourself, It is not you. You are engaging with the spiritual realm. And it was as if a light bulb went up in his head and he just said, hang on, what's happening to me? That is actually true. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that whether you bargain for it or not, whether you believe it or not, you and I and every single human being is engaging with the spiritual realm through our minds primarily. Now, the fifth thing I want to look at here is this. In the spiritual realm, we have three spirits operating in that realm. There is the human spirit, that is you and I. We have, you know, we're spirit. We operate in that realm, even if we're not conscious of it. You have two other forms of spirits that operate in that realm. You have God, the spirit of God, and you now have the third category of spirits, which is demonic spirits. That's Satan and all these people. And all his cohorts. And so this fifth point that I'm making here is this: that realm is always trying to influence you and I. God is trying to influence us from the spiritual realm. The devil is trying to influence people from the spiritual realm as well. And these, you know, all this, these categories of spirits are trying to express themselves through us. So you can either have the devil expressing himself through man from the spiritual realm, or you have God who expresses himself through his, you know, his children from the spiritual realm. And you also have the spirit of man engaging the spiritual realm directly. Do you understand what I mean? So these are the three categories of spirits that we have there in that realm. And like I said, all the spirits there are trying, well, those two categories of spirits, God and the devil and his own fallen spirits, are trying to get our attention. One, to express themselves. So it might be the devil expressing himself through human beings to achieve his purposes. And you also have God who is, you know, talking to us, trying to influence the earth as well and people around us from the spiritual realm as well. Now, I'm going to read a passage here. So if you look at Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 19, Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 19, it's the story of Paul. And Paul went to a particular place to preach. And as he was going around, there was this girl that was, you know, following them around. And she was saying, these people are men of God. These people are men of God. Hear them. However, this girl was possessed by what's called a divining spirit, a spirit of divination. So in this girl, you have the devil operating through her to influence the people around her, to tell them things about themselves. So if I read Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 19, it goes, once when they were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. The King James Version says a predict spirit of divination. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her, and when her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them to the marketplace to face the authorities. So we see a scenario here where there was a girl walking around, and the Bible tells us that she was a diviner, she was a fortune teller. I remember that there was once we went to Brighton, not the last time we went. I think that must have been maybe a year and a half ago, and we're walking on the pier on the beach, and I saw this caravan just right there by the pier. It looked like these Egyptian circus type caravans that you see in circuses in the movies, and on it said there, come for your future reading, let me predict the future for you. This person was one of these diviners, you know, doing business right there by the beach. And it's similar to this person that we just read about in the Bible. So what am I saying as a fifth point? We have spirits in that realm, in the spiritual realm, that are trying to express themselves through human beings. There are human beings that will go a step further to seek out these spirits and engage them properly. And that's when you now have people who are, you know, diviners, witch doctors, and all these people. So those are people who actually go out to seek that realm. But I'm not talking about those kind of folks today. I'm talking about just you, the regular person, or the person who is not involved in the occult or anything, just the regular person. Every one of us engages the spiritual realm, or should I say the spiritual realm engages us as well daily. Now, if we look at the second part, the second side to this spiritual realm engaging us as well, is if you look at Acts chapter 11, verses 27 and 28, Acts 11, 27 and 28, it says, during this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, one of them named Agabus. He stood up, and through the Spirit, he predicted that a severe famine would spread through the entire Roman world. This happened during the realm of Claudius. So here we see in the first example, the devil and his cohort expressing themselves through this girl that was, you know, possessed by them. And here we see Agabus, who again, in this instance, was connected to the spiritual realm, but speaking on behalf of God. So the point I'm making is that this realm is alive and real. Now, I'm going to read another portion of scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. It says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Listen to this. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So we see here that whether people realize it or not, Satan has already engaged the whole world in the spiritual realm. And this portion of scripture tells us that what Satan has done, or what he does, is that he blinds people from that realm so that they will not understand or believe the gospel. Now, how does he do it? There's so many ways that he does it. We'll look at that maybe another time. There's so many ways that the devil, you know, blinds people. And you might be wondering, like, when you're, you know, trying to preach to someone or sharing the gospel, and it's like the person is just looking at you blank. Some people might even argue and say, there's no God, what you're telling me doesn't make sense, so on and so forth. What you are experiencing there, or in those circumstances, is someone whose mind has been blinded by the devil, so that they can't understand what you're saying at all. Someone whose mind has been, you know, blinded by the devil. And so what that tells us is that Satan and his spirits are constantly speaking to the minds of men. And one thing we need to be aware of, and this is something that is quite helpful, whenever you're having a conversation with someone, maybe someone is, I'm not talking about all the time, there are times that maybe someone might be, I don't know, maybe at work or in the neighborhood or something, someone might be just for no reason adversarial towards you, very combative, they don't like you, and they're just like, I just don't like this person. Now, I'm not saying that they're being influenced from the spiritual realm all the time, you know, so it doesn't become like everybody is motivated by the devil. But in some instances, there are people who will be inspired by the devil to say certain things to you. Now, it's not necessarily in their character to say those kinds of things. Do you understand? But it might be that they're just at that point open, and they get certain thoughts, and they're like really firing those thoughts at you, saying certain things to you that it doesn't really make sense. And you're like, hang on, what have I done to this person? Why are they so aggressive towards me? Sometimes it could be that kind of influence. On the other hand as well, if we look at, there are times that people, now again, I'm going to put a PS on this one, it's not all the time, there are people who sometimes they have suicidal thoughts constantly. There are people who have depressive thoughts constantly. They sit down, and what they're hearing in their mind is, you know, stuff that is so oppressive. Sometimes they call it like intrusive thoughts. There are people who sometimes they just get up and is like, I hate myself. What is happening in a lot of those circumstances is that the thoughts of these people have been intercepted by the devil. And because a lot of people are not really aware that that is what is happening, they might think that they're the ones that are thinking those thoughts. Meanwhile, they're not. It is not them. Those thoughts are not coming from them at all. Those thoughts are external to them. They're being interjected into the minds of these people. And that is them engaging the spiritual realm, but they're not aware of it. And they think, oh, this is just me. I'm just feeling this way. I'm, you know, these things. No, it's not just them. In most cases, they are engaging the spiritual realm and they're not even aware. And how are they engaging the spiritual realm? Like I said, through the mind, whether we ask for it or not. All right, so I'll just move on. So the sixth point I want to make tonight is this. It's from Hosea chapter 4, verse, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6a. This is the sixth point. It said, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. So you can imagine if someone is walking around into a war zone and you've got soldiers on one side, and they're firing bullets up and down. And that person is reading a newspaper, not even aware that there's anything happening. And they're just strolling past the battlefield. You know, what that means is that if there's a stray bullet that's, you know, flying across, they could be victims at that, in that circumstance. So why am I making this analogy? I'm making this analogy because as believers, we need to be not conscious of evil around us, because that's not a good mindset to have. You know, the Bible says we should focus in Philippians on what is good and what is lovely. So I'm not saying, you know, we should be aware of evil going around us. We shouldn't really bother too much about that, if at all. But we need to be aware that there is a spiritual realm that we are walking in. And the way that helps us as believers is to realize that when certain thoughts come to your mind, you need to discern that. Hang on, where is this thought coming from? And if it's a thought that is against what God says concerning you, what do? You chuck that thought out straight away. You don't even give it a second thought. So being conscious of this helps us to live in a manner that is not guarded, but it helps us to be safe, so to speak. And, you know, we just, you know, are able to keep our minds like really focused and really straight, because we're aware that those things are happening. So ignorance, whether we realize it or not, is not a good thing. And that's why we're speaking about this. But the good news is this. Seventh point I want to make is that in this spiritual realm that we're talking about, the Bible tells us something about us as believers, which should make us really excited. It says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, it says, God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So what this means is that in the spiritual realm as a believer, you are in Christ. The Bible says that you're seated in Christ in heavenly realms. So what that means is that in the realm that is unseen, from God's perspective, once you're a believer, once you're born again, you are not walking around aimlessly in the spiritual realm, if I can use that analogy. No, the Bible says that your position is a position of authority. You are seated in Christ. That means you have authority over everything in the spiritual realm. So if anything tries to misbehave around you, the Bible says that you're seated in Christ. You speak from that place of authority that you are in Christ. So as a believer, you're not like, oh, I'm, my goodness, what's happening here? This spirit is troubling me, or I have this. No. The Bible says that you are in a position of authority. So when you speak, even though you can't see what is around you, spiritually speaking, unless the Holy Spirit opens your eyes, you are in a place of authority and you can speak into the spiritual realm. As you speak, the angels of God will take what it is that you're speaking, as long as it's in conjunction with the word of God, and execute that thing to happen in the spiritual realm. Do you understand what I mean? I remember that a story that Apostle told us a while ago, that he went to Nigeria, and he went to this church in Nigeria because that church was having some problems. There were just a lot of things were happening in that church, and they invited him. And as was in the church, they started to pray, and God now showed him that just right beside the church, there were some witches that were meeting there. So these are like, you know, they were not like physically meeting by the church out there. No, they were spiritually meeting there. And it was in that spiritual meeting that they were having that they were, you know, projecting into that particular church. And, you know, the church had some issues. So that's why they could do that to them, because normally, you know, that kind of thing shouldn't really be affecting you as a believer. But that's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is that as they were in the church, those guys, you know, those witches and all that were somewhere else, casting spells, harassing, you know, they had been doing it for ages and ages. And as he arrived at the church, they began to pray. And suddenly, by the Holy Spirit, he realized that, hang on, this is what is happening here. And he now said, while they were praying in the church, now, mind you, nobody's seeing anything here. They're just praying. They can't see what's happening in the spiritual realm at all. And they began to pray. And Apostle now began to say, let fire come down and scatter the meeting that they're having. He now began to say, I send the fire of God into that place. I send the hailstone of God into that place. And that's what he was praying. And I'm sure all those in the meeting will be like, oh, probably say amen, but you know, they didn't really see anything happening. Now, fast forward. One of the witches that was involved in that thing came to the church much, much later. A lot of things happened, and she now began to, well, speak about what they had actually been doing. And her mission was actually to come to that church to try and, you know, kill Apostle and all. That's another story. But that's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is that she said that something strange happened when they were having their witchcraft meeting, that they were, you know, doing all sorts of things there, and that suddenly fire came down from heaven into that meeting, and just, I'm talking about spiritual fire, arrived suddenly from heaven into that witchcraft meeting, burnt up everybody there, they ran away. They now investigated the witches and said, hang on, what's happening here? Where did this come from? They now did all their divination, and they now realize that, ah, this is what happened. That apostle man was praying in that church with these people. That is where the fire came from. Now, why am I making this point? I'm making this point because if we look at the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 that I just read, that says we have dominion in Christ. So what that means is that whether you can see the spiritual realm or not, it doesn't matter. You and I just need to realize that, look, we are engaging that realm, and we can engage that realm at a very high level. The high level that with which we engage that realm is not based on our own natural ability. It is because we're based in Christ. So if anything messes up in that realm, or if anything is trying to disturb you in that realm, maybe what you do is you take the word of God and you speak the word of God. And as you speak that word of God, whether you see it happening or not, realize that what you're saying has effect. Do you understand what I mean? So that's how we do it. Now, the last point I'm going to make, and we'll pray, is saying that we access that spiritual realm in a number of ways. And the two main ways is through the word of God and by the Holy Spirit. What do I mean by that? There is something that penetrates the spiritual realm and causes things to happen. And the thing that penetrates the spiritual realm for us as believers is the word of God. I don't want to say how how they engage the spiritual realm. That's not matter for conversation here. But for us, the way we engage the spiritual realm and make things happen is through the word of God and through the Holy Spirit. Now, what that means is this. The Holy Spirit can reveal certain things to you about what is actually going on in that realm. It might be through vision, it might be through, dreams, or so on and so forth. So he does that. The other way we access the spiritual realm is through the Word of God. There is something that the Word of God does in our lives in terms of the spiritual realm. As we read the Word of God constantly, it fine-tunes our hearing into the spiritual realm through God. We'll look at that in much more detail in one of the other lessons, well, that we're going to look at. But the two main ways that we access the spiritual realm is through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit. And that is so important. So we don't access the spiritual realm on our own, and we don't use, you know, negative ways or, you know, evil spirits to do that. That's for the people who do that. But we access that realm by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. But like I said, I will look at, we'll look at that in greater detail next time. So I'm going to stop there tonight. So what I've just tried to establish tonight is to give us the foundation of this topic that we're looking at, which is the supernatural life. And what I want us to really, really be conscious of in the next coming, in the next few weeks and actually months to come, is to realize that, look, you are a spiritual being. I'm a spiritual being. And we can access the spiritual realm. We can live life in a supernatural manner. But we need to be aware that that exists for us. And we access the supernatural side of life by the Holy Spirit. We'll look at that in great detail later. So what have I looked at tonight? I've looked at, the first thing I looked at was the definition of that word spiritual. So we looked at that and we said it's something that affects the human spirit or soul, as opposed to the material or the physical things. We also looked at the fact that as a human being, you're made up of three parts. You're a spirit, you have a you live in a body, and you have a soul, so you're really spiritual. The third thing we looked at was the fact that there is a spiritual realm out there. It's an invincible realm, but it is alive and kicking. The fourth point we looked at was the fact that we contact the spiritual realm daily, whether you're born again or not. As long as you're a human being, you actually engage with the spiritual realm through your mind in the form of thoughts and imaginations. We'll look at how the role that plays later. We also said in the spiritual realm, the fifth point, there are three categories of spirits that operate there. There's the human spirit, there's spirit of God, and there's the, you know, the demonic spirit. So those are the only three that operate there. Three categories of spirits. The sixth thing we looked at was the fact that ignorance of what's happening around us is not ideal. And even though we're not making ourselves conscious to the evil that's going on around, but we need to be aware that that realm exists and how it works. The seventh point we looked at was the fact that, look, we can operate in that realm, but we operate from that realm as believers in Christ, not as ourselves. So we have tremendous authority in that realm through Christ. And the last point I made was that we access that realm by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. So that's where I'm going to end tonight. As we go on in the next few weeks, we'll be looking at, okay, how does the Holy Spirit, how do we encounter the spiritual realm? How do we enter into the gifts of the Holy Spirit, particularly prophecy? How does God speak to us? How can I understand what is going on in that realm? Or how can I don't want to use that word, project into the future. How can I know, understand what is happening around me? Easy. Well, I don't want to say easy, but it is actually quite straightforward. And we will look at that as we go along. And the main reason I'm looking at this intensively today and for the next few weeks is so that we are not just Christians who just turn up on a Sunday, which is fantastic, turn up on a Friday, which is fantastic for the Bible studies. We need to begin to experience God so that when we open the Bible and God says certain things about us, we can experience those things. When things are happening around us spiritually, we're not at a loss to say what is, you know exactly what to do. So that is where I believe God is going to take us through, so that we begin to really be conscious of the spirituality that God has given us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to stop there and I'm just going to pray.